God, our God is a sovereign God. If you didn't get a handout, raise your hand. We'll get you a handout. I'm gonna have you to write. I got a couple down here. Gonna have you to write us a little bit this morning. Help keep you awake and alert, and pray for you to learn. And these are sticking your heart and mind as you write these things down. Because I'm firmly convinced that we as Christians still don't really grasp this awesome God that we serve. I mean, even though we say certain things about him and we do understand him to a certain extent, but there is much more that you and I as Christians can learn and can understand and lean on about our great and awesome God. So if you don't have a handout, raise your hand one more time. I got a few more down front as we continue this series on the attributes of God. And today, the sovereignty of God, part two. The sovereignty of God, part two. So if you need a handout, just raise your hand. Thank you, ushers. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. Also, I want to thank our decorators, the ladies that came in Friday morning and decorate. If you were on that, at least raise your hand if you came by. And I was smart Friday morning. I did most of my studying at home, and I came over here kind of later on in the day when it was finishing up. I was like, oh, okay, y'all through now. All right, man, y'all finished. They did a great job. We thank them for doing that. And, you know, just, you know, this is the Lord's house. And so, you know, we're going to worship him. We don't worship the Christmas lights or Christmas tree. We worship Christ, but I like this touch, this festive touch. Because really for us, listen, for us, for the redeemed of God, every day should be like Thanksgiving. Every day should be like Christmas. Every day should be like Easter. We don't have to wait until December and November and March or April. We need to celebrate those times all the time. We serve the risen Savior. I ain't waiting to know, you know, once or twice a year to celebrate. No, we got to celebrate every day. I might not make it to Thanksgiving or Christmas here on earth. I might not. Amen. The sovereignty of God, saints, the sovereignty of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, dear God, for your word. We thank you for the people of God. I pray, dear God, that the words, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Dear God, I know without a shadow of a doubt, that your word, the word of God, it corrects, it rebukes, it directs, and it encourages the heart and mind of your people. So today, dear Lord, do by your spirit and by your word what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Also, I told her I was going to do this last Sunday. I told her it's good to have Sister Ariana Garner back. She disappeared on me. But Sister, there she is. There she is. She's fast. Sister Ariana Garner, back up in the choir. Amen. Amen. I mean, we need to encourage one another. The Bible tells us that, but we need to definitely encourage our younger saints, who are serving the Lord in various capacities. So we thank God for Sister Ariana, Sister Ari. Yeah, we got two Aries here at Love Fellowship. We've already looked at several attributes of God thus far in this series. And if you missed some of these sermons, just go to our website. You know, we capture all of them typically on our website. I think we missed one of them due to technical difficulties, but just go to our website. And you know, if you've missed some of these attributes, they are a blessing. You know, we get them right from the word of God. We're not just making this stuff up. It's right out of the word of God, the attributes of God. But if you are a good reader, like to read a lot, there are two books, that really kind of highlight the attributes of God. They're based on the Bible. Two books, they're both entitled The Attributes of God, if you like to read a lot. And one is written by A.W. Tozer, T-O-Z-E-R, A.W. Tozer. He's probably my favorite author. You can tell he walked closely with God. He's deceased now. And then the other one is written by A.W. Pink, both from A.W. A.W. Tozer and A.W. Pink. If you want to say short books, but powerful books on the attributes of God, the attributes of God. And so we've looked thus far at the love of God, saints. We've looked at the love of God. We've looked at the grace and mercy of God. We've looked at the wrath of God. We've looked thus far at the goodness of God. We've looked at the holiness of God and the faithfulness of God. We've looked at the fact that God is omniscient. He knows all things. Think about that for a moment. He knows, Brother Terrence, he knows all things. And we've looked at the fact that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. So just in a real sense, how as I pray to this God who's omnipresent, even though I'm from Arkansas, and that's where my aunt is, Aunt Ruth is in Arkansas, I know that the God that I serve here in Tennessee, he's dealing with stuff over in Arkansas too, or over in California, over in Africa, or wherever. He's omnipresent. Also, our God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. And that feeds right into what we're talking about this morning, the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. And if you remember from last week, or if you weren't here last week, this word sovereignty or sovereign simply means one who holds absolute power. The one who is supreme ruler. He's Lord. He's king. So if somebody is sovereign, that means they're in charge. And God is sovereign. He didn't check with me this morning. He didn't check with you this morning. Say, well, do I need to, can I do this today? No, no. God, he checks with nobody. He calls a council of himself. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, he is sovereign. He is in control, in charge of all things. And this morning, quick recap from last week. It's right there on your seat. Because God is sovereign, he controls time and seasons. Because God is sovereign, he controls time and seasons. Because God is sovereign, he raises up and removes leaders. He raises up and removes leaders. So we can rest in that fact that, he raises up and he removes leaders. I'm going to leave that one alone. I'm going to leave that alone. But because God is sovereign, he has dominion. He has dominion over the affairs of people. Because God is sovereign, he has dominion over the affairs of people. That's right there on your sheet. I got it filled in for you. We covered these last week. Because God is sovereign, because he's all powerful, because he's ruler, because he's sovereign, he controls nature for his purposes. He controls nature for his purpose. He was the one who said, I'm going to let it rain and rain and rain all Friday evening and early Saturday. I went took my little dog walking yesterday. There was water everywhere, water all over everywhere. God controls all that. Because God is sovereign, he looks after his creation. He takes care of his creation. Because he is sovereign, he's in control of everything. He's running everything. He looks after his creation. Number 6, right there on your seat. This is where we landed last week. This is where we ended. Because God is sovereign, he chose his people before he made the world. Ephesians 1 and 4. Because God is sovereign, he chose his people before he made the world. Ephesians 1, 4. And this morning we're going to launch out with number 7. It's Ephesians 1, 5, and 6, and 11 and 12 is going to be on the screen. But number 7, because God is sovereign, you got to do a little writing. He has a plan, write this down. He has a plan for his people, and he will carry it out. Because God is sovereign, number 7 right there on your seat. Because God is sovereign, he has a plan for his people and he will carry it out. God has a plan for his people and he will carry it out. Aren't you glad about that? He has a plan for you, a plan for me. He has a plan for his people and he's going to carry it out. He has the power. He's sovereign. He's in control. Let me give you some Bible on that. Ephesians 1 verse 5 says, having predestined or predetermined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. Here it is. According to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace. By which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined or predetermined according, here it is, according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Now that's a mouthful. That's a whole sermon in and of itself. But basically saying that God has predetermined to adopt us as his sons and daughters. According to his good pleasure. According to his will. He has worked that out. And look, God is sovereign. And so he has adopted us as sons and daughters through our faith in Jesus Christ. And since God has adopted us, he has a plan for all of us. Yes, you. God has a plan for all of us. It's not just some arbitrary thing. God himself has planned this out. He has a purpose and plan for your life. And since it's God's plan, and since it's God's purpose for your life, and since he's sovereign, since he's in charge of all things, since he has absolute power and control, guess what? God's will, his will, it will be done. I say it will be done. It will be carried out. It's not like God's plan, God's will is going to get aborted. Gets frustrated. No. God's, it's going to be carried out. Watch this. Carried out according to his good pleasure and for your and my good. It's for the glory of God and it's for your good. God's will, God's plan for our lives. A.W. Tozer said it this way. He says, did you ever stop to think that God is going to be as pleased to have you with him in heaven as you are to be there? In other words, Tozer said, God's going to be glad to be bringing us to heaven. It's God's desire that none, this is the Bible, it's God's desire that none should perish, that none should go to hell, but all should come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I have gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be there also. I don't know about you, but wherever Jesus is, that's where I want to be hanging out, wherever Jesus is. I want to be hanging out wherever he is. So on earth, I want to walk with him and dwell with him here on earth, and then for eternity, I want to hang out with where he is. Jeremiah 29:11 says, and we know this was directly quoted to the Israelites, but also we can kind of grab it secondarily. God says this in Jeremiah 29:11. He said, I know the plans I have for you for a future and for a hope, for peace and for not evil. God said, I got a good plan for you. God said, I got a good plan for you. See, it's good to know that when you and I hook up with God, when our plan, our will aligns with his will, and not vice versa, but when our will aligns with his will, guess what? God gonna do some awesome things in our lives. It's good to know that as you and I hang out with God, even here on earth, we can do some things that will have some eternal impact, some heavenly impact, not just temporary or earthly impact, but things that you and I do has the potential, because we're with God, because God is using us, has potential to ring out through all eternity. Take this out. Let me just give you an easy, simple example. You go and you're obedient to the Lord, and you go talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. You go and share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, how they can, a person who's lost, who's unsaved, how they can become a Christian, become a follower of Christ. And we know that we don't save. We know God is the one who saves, but we do plant and water seeds. And you go and tell somebody about Jesus, about the goodness of Jesus, and you see them come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you begin to help disciple them. That's an eternal thing. That's an eternal thing. You've allowed God to use you to help change somebody's destination from hell to heaven. Oh, ain't nothing no better than that, to help somebody change their destination from hell to heaven. I'm thankful for all the people that sowed seeds in my life, and through Sunday school and through church and through my parents and through other people that came across my path. I'm glad that somebody took the time to show and share me the love of God and the love of Christ. Forget all that other stuff. People showed me some other good stuff too, and that's okay, but I'm glad that God had used some people to show me some eternal stuff. You can teach me how to save a little money and all that stuff. That's good. You can teach me how to write a computer program. That's what I used to do. That's good. That's good. But all that stuff gonna go away. All that stuff is temporal. All that stuff is just gonna go away one day. Give me some eternal stuff. Give me some long lasting stuff. So God can use you and you to make a big difference while you're here on planet Earth, because God is sovereign. He has a plan for his people, and he will carry it out. Number 8 on your seat there, this is going to be out of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. We're going to put that back on your screen. We looked at it some last week, but we're going to revisit it. Because God is sovereign, number 8, because God is sovereign, he chose us, and he helps us to live holy. He chose us and he helps us, or he enables us, or he empowers us to live holy. God, because he is sovereign, he chose us. And also he helps us. He enables us. He empowers us to live holy. Listen to Ephesians 1 and 4. Just as he, God, chose us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Y'all getting that? He saved you. He saved me before there was a you or me. Before there was your mama and your daddy. Before there was your grandmama and your granddaddy. Before the foundation of the world. He himself, because he's God, because he's sovereign. He said, I'm going to have a relationship with him, and her. And I'm going to choose him and bring them to myself. And watch this. I'm going to cause them and help them to live holy. Y'all see that? He said he's going to help them live holy. Without blame before him in love. That we should be holy. See, God chose from the beginning to sanctify us, set us apart, to purify us. Brother Rucker is a good granddad. He's a good granddad. He got his granddaughter quieting down right away. That's good, brother. God chose us. He chose to sanctify us, to set us apart. To justify us, to declare us righteous, to empower us, to enable us to live holy. So if you're a Christian, if you're born again, you can't be going, well, you know, I can't help myself. No, you ain't hanging out with the Lord enough. God can help all of us to overcome some stuff. Now, I'm not talking about sinless perfection, but I'm saying, I said this a couple of weeks ago, maybe you should cuss folks out in 1 second. Now, you don't cuss them out in 1 second. It might take you about 2, 3, 4 minutes before you get there now, but you know, you're making progress. You're making a little progress. You're getting a little better. God can work on us. He does work on us. He works on us. I say he works on us. We theologians call it progressive sanctification. You're becoming more and more like Christ. More and more like Jesus. Sister Roxanne, we're becoming more and more like the Lord. We are. He has decided to do that. He has done that. And we're learning on our Wednesday night Bible study how our identity is in Christ. Our identity is not in what you do or your job or your last name. Your identity is in Christ. I heard this recently. I let Tanya hear it. And I mentioned it yesterday as we were praying on the prayer line. It amazes me how God, we can't put our God, Brother Tyler, in a little theological box. God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. So even in the sports world, Alabama has a real good quarterback, Tua. I just say the first name, Tua. He's real good. He messed up his hip. And for several years now, he's been professing Christ. And so here it is. He's, you know, maybe going to go be one of the first players drafted and all that stuff. But he hurts his hip. And at first, he said he may not ever play again and all that. And so a lot of people are interviewing him. But check this out. This blew this one guy, this one big TV guy, Paul Feinbaum, just blew him away. That Tua said, wait a minute. My identity is not tied to me playing football. It's not tied to me doing it. My identity, and this is like all over the national news. He said, my identity is in Jesus Christ. And that so blew Paul Feinbaum away the next day. And took a couple of, he said, man, I just cannot believe this. We were talking to this guy and he told me, he said, his identity is in Christ. I said, yeah, now see, that's where our identity is. Not necessarily what we do and all that stuff is okay, but our identity is in Christ. You know, our identity is in Christ. And those who are not in Christ, they kind of boggles their mind. They can't understand that. Why is your identity not in the fact that you can make millions of dollars in the next couple of months? Or why is your identity not in this, that, or other? No, our identity is in Christ. And that's what number 87, because God is sovereign. He chose us and he helps us or enables us to live holy. He lets us know who we belong to and we belong to him. And watch this, because you're in Christ, I'm talking to the Christian now, because you're in Christ, you will pursue intimacy with Christ. You will pursue a closer walk with Jesus. You and I will. People won't have to beg you to follow Jesus. Won't have to beg you to read your Bible. Won't have to beg you to pray. Oh, don't get quiet on me now. Won't have to beg you to come to church, because if you're in Christ and you're chosen by him and he's helping you to live holy, helping you to do things, he puts something inside of you. Now, sometimes we do get lax on our Christian, what we call our Christian discipline. Sometimes we get lax, but you don't remain there. You cry out things like, Lord, return to me the joy of thy salvation. You cry out things like, Lord, revive me again, O Lord. You cry out with the psalmist in Psalms 42, 1 and 2, when he said, as the deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul pants after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? When you taste of the Lord, the more you taste of him, he gets sweeter day by day. The closer you walk to Jesus, the closer you want to walk with Jesus. Do I have any witnesses right there? The closer you get to the Lord, the closer you want to get to the Lord. If you are a new creature in Christ, you have a new nature. And with that new nature comes a hunger for righteousness, a hunger for holiness, a hunger for God, a hunger for Jesus. Yes, yes, we get lukewarm. Yes, we get off track sometimes, but God himself is the one, once again, he who has begun a good work in you, guess what? He's going to complete it. He who has begun a good work in you, he's going to complete it. So because God is sovereign, he chose us and he helps us and he enables us to live holy. Oh, there, you and I will live holy. I said, we will live holy. You know, the Bible said God disciplines those whom he loves. So if you are a child of God, you can go out here when we leave, when we dismiss here in about 20 or 30 minutes or so, when we dismiss, you can go out here and live any kind of way if you want to. If you belong to Jesus, if you belong to God, he gonna spank that behind. He gonna tighten that butt up. He gonna take away some joy, take away some peace. He has a way of disciplining those whom he loves. And then, all right, you keep on acting a fool. God says, all right, I'll just take you on home. If you belong to him, okay, I'm just going to take you on home then. I mean, God, our God, he loves us. But he's also a God of wrath. He also, and by the grace of God, we aren't under the wrath of God. That's a blessing. That's a shout right there. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But as a Christian, when we do certain stuff, God says, I'm going to take care of you. You belong to me. Maybe so-and-so can do that and I'll let them get away with it for right now. I'm going to get them later on. But you belong to me, so you represent my name. And God has a way of taking care of you. Every now and then my dad, Brother Jim, you get ready to, you know, to go out or something. When you're in high school, you know, you're about to go out to a little party or something, and every now and then he wouldn't do it all the time. He said, now, boy, remember what your last name is. In other words, you represent me too when you go out there. So that's what God is saying. Now, remember what your name is. Remember that you belong to him. I often say that, I hadn't said it in a while. Now, if you out there just acting a fool and doing any kind of crazy, don't tell them you belong to the Lord. And please don't tell them you go to Love Fellowship. Don't even tell them that. Lead it off. Lead it off. God is sovereign. He chose us. He saved us. And he helps us. He enables us, empowers us to live holy. Number 9. Because God is sovereign, listen to this. Sometimes this is hard for the human flesh. We may not want to admit it, but sometimes this is hard. Because God is sovereign, he does whatever he wants to do. Because God is sovereign. That's what sovereignty means. He's in control. He's ruler. He's king. He's Lord. Because God is sovereign, he does whatever he wants to do. Now it's good, once again, saints, to look at all, you know, the attributes of God. He is a good God. He is a merciful God, slow to anger. So we would all be in trouble if he was some kind of evil deity. But he still does whatever he wants to do. I said it earlier. He didn't check with me this morning. And I don't even have to ask you. He didn't check with you this morning either about what he's getting, some of his divine decrees, what he's getting ready to do. He didn't say, well, let me check with Brother Jeffrey Martin and see what he wants. You know, now he does what he wants to do. Job 23:13, you can write these down and read them later. It says, but God is unique, and who can make him change? And whatever his soul desires, that he does. Ecclesiastes 3:14 says it this way. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear him. See, there's a type of reverence and a type of fear we should have of this Almighty God. I cringe sometimes, and I know most of them don't even know him. when you listening to people on TV and they be saying those stuff like, oh, the man upstairs. So, you know, all the, you know, I've read the Bible. I read the Bible daily. I mean, I've never seen in the Bible that's one of his titles, a man upstairs. When I think of the man upstairs, I used to live in some apartments. When I think of the man upstairs, I think about the person living up on the second floor. I live on the first floor. That's a man upstairs. But who can make God change? You know, who is stronger or more powerful than our sovereign God? No one. We read it earlier, Psalms 115:3 says, but our God is in heaven and he does whatever he pleases. Yes, he does. Psalms 135:6 says it this way, saints. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does. In heaven and in earth. In the seas and in all the deep places, Psalms 135:6. Oh yes, because God is sovereign. He does whatever he wants to do. You and I have to come to grips with that fact, saints. Embrace it. Relish in it. Find comfort in it. If he's your God, if he's your king, your Lord and Savior, you ought to relish in the fact that he's in control of everything. He does whatever he wants to do, and he does it well. He is sovereign. Isaiah 46:9, again, we read it earlier. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. See, if you're in doubt this morning concerning the sovereignty of God, you must not really know God. You must not really be a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must not be a Bible reader. Or maybe you don't believe what you're reading. But if you believe, or even if you don't believe, our God is still sovereign. He's in control of all things. And once again, for the child of God, that should bring some comfort to your soul this morning. I mean, whatever you're dealing with in your life, you know, on your job or in your family or finances or whatever it might be, our God, once again, is ultimately in control of all things. Romans 8:28, for we know that God causes all things to work together for the good, for those who love him and who are called according to his purposes. Now, I'm not saying if you pick it all apart that every single thing is good. There's a lot of things in my life and in your life we've encountered. I would say, hey, that wasn't so good. And let's be honest, a lot of times those things was your fault and was my fault. But even that, watch this. Our God is so awesome. If you love him, if you belong to him, he can work all that stuff together for the good. Joseph said it this way, when his brothers sold him into slavery into Egypt, he said, well, you all meant for evil. Y'all meant it for evil, but God turned that thing around for good. God meant it for good. The old saints said, God can take a crooked stick and hit a straight line. He can do that. On the back of your seat, again, God is sovereign. He does whatever he wants. On the back of your seat, because God is sovereign, he chose his people to become like Christ. Because God is sovereign, he chose his people to become like Christ. Romans 8:28-29. I just quoted verse 28. Romans 8:28-29. Because God is sovereign, he chose his people to become like Christ. Let me just jump right to verse 29. For whom God foreknew, he also predestined. Marked out beforehand to be conformed. Listen to this, what he predetermined you and me to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, this is a sermon even by itself, verse 29. So I'm just going to hit the light. I'm just going to just kind of scratch the surface. But it's going to be a good scratch, but I'm just going to kind of scratch the surface. Listen, God is little bit by little bit sovereign and conforming me and you more and more into the image of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I quote this quite often. It's a great quote by Max Lucado. He says that God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. That's basically what verse 29 is saying. That's what verse 29 is saying. It says, hey, he chose us and he saved us that we might be conformed to the image of his son. We should be looking like Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 says it this way, saints. It says we are ambassadors for Christ. And the last time I checked, an ambassador is like a representative for someone. You know, if you are an ambassador of the United States and you're over in Africa or Russia, when a person sees you over in Africa or Russia, since you are an ambassador for the United States, you are representing the United States, right? Y'all with me? So therefore, they may never come to America, but because you are an ambassador for the United States over in a foreign land, when they see you, they should kind of see what Americans look like and act like and talk like. Am I right about it? Are y'all with me this morning? Some people are not going to come to this church building. Let me say that again. Some people are not going to come to this church building. But on your job, in your neighborhoods, wherever you are, if you are being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, you are an ambassador for Christ. So they might say, well, I don't know anything about love, fellowship, but that church down there. But I know sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so on my job. They different. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are being conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God is sovereign. He chose us to become like Christ. He chose us to become like Christ. So if you're saved today, you ought to be shouting that, hey, I am chosen by God. I'm saved today. And if you're not saved today, you ought to be saying, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be chosen? How do I become the elect of God? Well, the Bible is simple. The Bible is clear. The Bible says in Romans, many places, Romans 10:9-10, Romans 10:13, the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. God gives us, he screams out from Genesis to Revelation how people can enter into a personal relationship with him. Jesus said it this way. Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus said, I am the way. Y'all catch that? Jesus said, I am the way. Not one of the ways. Don't believe this universalism. Foolishness that you can get to God different ways, and there are different ways to heaven. There are different ways to hell, but there's only one way to heaven. I said there's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and his name is Jesus. Peter said there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which you must be saved. It's Jesus Christ yesterday, it's Jesus Christ today, and it'll be Jesus Christ tomorrow. There's only one way to heaven. So when God says, I've chosen you, as I said last week, don't let these words throw you off too much. Just say, hey, rush to the cross. I've never seen anybody personally or in the Bible that came to God and came to Christ and they said, well, no, we didn't choose you. So we not, no. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Because God is sovereign. He chose you to become like Christ. He chose you. He chose me to become like Christ. So listen. When God looks at your life, looks at my life, if he sees some hatred in there because I'm being conformed to his son, when he sees some hatred in there, he takes it out and puts some love. When he sees pride in there, he takes it out and puts some humility. When he sees like stress and anxiety in there, he takes it out and puts some peace and joy. He works that thing out. When he sees unforgiveness in your heart and in my heart, guess what? Since he is the potter and we are the clay, he takes that unforgiveness out and puts some forgiveness in there. Because he's conforming us into the image of his son. He's working on us. He's molding us. He's the potter and we are the clay. We're in his hands and he's molding us. And sometimes he allows us to go through certain situations, certain things that get our attention, and he can mold us a little quicker and a little better. He is the master vine dresser. He's pruning us to get us to be more like his son, Jesus. You know what the verse said? The verse said that he has predetermined that you're going to be conformed to the image of his son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So here it is. Jesus Christ has many titles. He's Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He is the Lamb of God. He is our food when we are thirsty. Hungry. He's our water when we are thirsty. He's a resting place. He's our high tower. He's our high priest. He's our sacrifice. He has many titles, but one of the titles that he has that we don't use too regularly, and it's right there in verse 29. One of the titles is he's our elder brother. He's our big brother. I said he's our elder brother. He's God, yes, he's God, but he's our big brother. And I don't know about you, but it's good to have a big brother. I grew up having a big brother. I've told you all this before. You know, where I grew up, a little country town, you go K through six, you go on one campus, and then when you get to the seventh grade, you have to go to another campus. So you in the sixth grade, you the big man on campus. You know, you taking folks lunch money and all kinds of crazy stuff. When you go over to the next campus, seventh grade, you hiding your lunch money. You hiding. But I had it pretty good because I was in the seventh grade and I had a big brother, elder brother. He was in the 12th grade and he was pretty big. He was about 6'3" and pretty popular and all that. So somebody might be about to mess with me. He said, no, his name was Alvin. He said, no, that's Alvin's little brother. I said, yes, that's right. Get back. I'm Alvin's little brother. Get back. So, you know, I felt pretty good. Why? Because I had an elder brother. Now, the next year, though, my brother graduated. I'm still in the eighth grade, Sister Cousins. I'm still kind of in bad shape. But I didn't have an elder brother, though, Brother Adrian, but I had an elder cousin who was in the 12th grade. And he was a football player, and he was thick, and nobody messed with him. So he came over, because, you know, I was a little nervous. Like, man, I'm in the eighth grade, man. I'm, you know, all these big folks, man, stuff. But my cousin pulled me to the side. He said, hey, cousin, if anybody mess with you, just let me know. I said, all right, I'm all right then, I'm all right. My big cousin got me. All I'm trying to say, though, saints, you and I got an elder brother. And he doesn't graduate and leave the campus. He's always with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's our elder brother. He's our big brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're being conformed all the more into his image. I don't know about you, but I want to look more like Jesus today than I did yesterday or last week or last month. I definitely want to look more like him than I did back in 92 when I first came to Christ. I want to look more like our Lord and Savior. As you and I live, that should be our hearts. Our Lord, I want to look more like Jesus. I want to act more like Jesus. I want to respond more like Jesus. When people cut me off in traffic and they throw a bad sign at me, I don't want to throw a bad sign back at them. I want to throw a peace sign or something, or throw the cross at them or something. Help me to act more like Jesus. Help me to act more like Jesus. So God does that, though, because he is sovereign. Because he's sovereign, saints. He's going to make us just like Jesus. He's working on us. He's working on us. Aren't you glad he's still working on you? I said, aren't you glad he's still working on you? He's still working on us. Number 11, and I'm basically through. Because God is sovereign, I will joyfully submit to his will. Because God is sovereign, meaning he is ruler, he is in control, he's in charge. Because God is sovereign. Because God is sovereign, I will joyfully submit to his will. Now look, I'm not going to be looking, I'm not going to be checking. But this is what I'm getting ready to do. I did it earlier. If you wrote that down, I think a lot of y'all did. And if you really meant that, just go ahead and sign your name there. Because God is sovereign. I'm going to sign my name again. I will joyfully submit to his will. If you don't mean it, don't sign it. But I will joyfully submit to his will. See, he's sovereign. He's ruler. He's in control. He's in charge. And watch this. He's not going to tell anything. Everything that he tells us to do is ultimately for our good. It's not like he's going to tell us something that's, you know, not for our good. We may not understand it, may not feel good, but it's ultimately for our good. That's a great leader. That's a great ruler. That's a great Lord. I'm glad he is Lord of all. Because God is sovereign. I will joyfully submit to his will. Last one, number 12. Because God is sovereign, I'm going to give him thanks. Since this is Thanksgiving season, if you will, because God is sovereign, I'm going to give him thanks. Because God is sovereign, I'm going to give him thanks. You might just want to write some of these references down. I'm going to read a few verses. There's so many verses in the Bible about giving God thanks and thanksgiving. We could be here the rest of the evening trying to find all of them. There are many of them. But first of all, we're going to thank him before Thursday. We want to thank him before Thursday. We don't have to wait to Thursday. We want to thank him before Thanksgiving Day. Watch this. Every day is Thanksgiving Day for me and you. Every day should be. Today, guess what? Today is Thanksgiving Day. Mess somebody up this evening or tomorrow. Call them and say, hey, happy Thanksgiving. Today is Thanksgiving Day. And they'll be like, no, Thanksgiving is Thursday. So, no, today is Thanksgiving Day. Every day is a day of Thanksgiving. Every day is a day to be thankful and grateful. Not just Thursday. Brother Daniel said it this way. He says, to you, O God, O of my father, I give thanks and praise. That's what Daniel said. 2 Samuel 22 and 50 says it this way, saints. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the nations, and I will sing praises to your name. 1 Chronicles 16 and 8 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. This is the Bible now. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Anybody want to thank him this morning? Because God is sovereign, I'm going to give him thanks. 1 Chronicles 16, 34 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Oh, I got to read that one again. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Matter of fact, the saints of old in 1 Chronicles 16 and also chapter 23, Brother Chris, they were so excited. Certain people were designated, listen, were designated to stand up every morning, Sister Kayla, and every evening to give thanks to our God. They had certain people designated to stand up every morning and stand up every evening to give thanks to our God. That's a pretty good plan. There need to be somebody around in your circle, and it should be you, to give God thanks throughout the day. Oh, you ought to thank him in the morning. You ought to thank him during lunchtime. You ought to thank him on your afternoon drive home. You ought to thank him before you eat your dinner meal. You ought to thank him after your dinner meal. You ought to thank him when you get ready to go to bed at night. You ought to thank him when you wake up in the midnight hour. And watch this. When you wake up the next morning, wake up thanking him again. You ought to thank him because God is sovereign, because he's in control, because he's watching over your life and my life. We ought to thank him on the regular, Brother Keeper. 1 Chronicles 29:13 says it this way. Now, therefore, O God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. In Ezra chapter 3, verse 11, it says they sang praising and giving thanks to the Lord. What were they saying? They said, we're giving thanks to the Lord. Here it is. For he is good. I said, for he is good. Now, y'all told me, remember I told y'all 2 weeks ago, I took that survey. Everybody I've asked, every character I read about in the Bible is unanimous. They come back with this raving report that our God is good. I said, our God is good. I said, our God is good. He's a good God. I'm not necessarily saying to try to get your affirmation or you to agree with me. I'm telling you that he is good. You can believe it or not believe it. He is good. He's a good God. He's a good God. That's what Ezra said. So he is good. Then in Psalms 9:1, it says, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all his wonders. Psalms 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exults and with my song, I shall thank him. Oh, I need to read that one more time. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exults. It just explodes. And my song, I shall thank him all the days of my life. I'm going to thank him. Psalms 35:18 says, I will give you thanks. This is a reoccurring theme, saints. I will give you thanks in the great congregation. That's what the psalmist says. I will praise you among a mighty throng. Because God is sovereign, I'm going to give him thanks. Psalms 44:8 says, in God we have boasted all day long. See, it's okay to brag. It's okay to boast. It's okay to brag, but boast in the Lord. Brag on God. Brag on Jesus. I serve the baddest God in the whole world. I serve the greatest Savior in the whole world. It's okay to boast, but boast in the Lord. Brag on the Lord. He said, we boasted all day long. Then he said, and we will give thanks to your name forever. The psalmist said it this way in Psalms 50:14, the saints, he said, saints, offer to God, listen, saints, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. But check this out in Psalms 50. God turns right back around in Psalms 50 in verse 23. He says, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. Oh, y'all missed it. Y'all missed it. The psalmist said, offer to God a thanksgiving. And then God turns right back around and says, whoever offers me a thanksgiving, he brings me honor and glory and praise. So you and I ought to be thanking God on the regular. Once again, I'm going to thank God because he's in control of all things. Psalms 92:1 said, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. I say, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. I don't know about you. I'm feeling pretty good just thanking the Lord. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. It is good to give thanks to the, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Psalm 79:13 says, so we are your people and the sheep of your pasture will give thanks to you forever. Isaiah said it this way, Isaiah 25:1 said, O Lord, you are my God. Oh Lord, you are my God. That's what Isaiah said. Is he your God this morning? Isaiah said, oh Lord, you are my God. He said, I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name. And then he says, for you have worked wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. And so Isaiah said, I'm going to thank you. You're my God. And I'm going to give you thanks because you planned this thing out perfectly. And everything you said and done, Sister Chapman, has gone through faithfully. So thank him in the morning. Thank him in the afternoon. Thank him when you feel like it. Thank him when you don't feel like it. Thank him when things are going well. Thank him when things are not seemingly going well. Thank him when you got a lot of friends around you. Thank him when you're all by yourself. Thank him when it seems like the enemies are crowding in on you. You ought to thank him. I said, you ought to thank him. You ought to thank. Today is the day of Thanksgiving. Today is the day of Thanksgiving. Not tomorrow, not next Tuesday, not next Thursday, but today is the day of Thanksgiving. We gotta thank him. You ought to just thank him. I gotta do this one more time. We gotta think and to thank. You gotta think and thank. When you begin to think about who God is, when you start thinking about stuff like God controls time and seasons, you ought to thank him. When you think about the fact that God is the one who raises up leaders and removes leaders, oh, you ought to thank him. I got to say that one more time. I get excited when I know that God is the one that raised up. I don't know why he raised up some of them, but I'm glad he can take them out of office if you want to take them out of office. I got to thank him. And when I think about the fact that he has dominion over all the affairs of the people, I got to thank him. When I think about the fact that he controls nature for his purposes, I got to thank him. When I think about the fact that he chose you and me before he even made the world, I got to thank him. When I think about the fact that he has a purpose and a plan for my life and your life, and he's going to carry that thing out, Brother Michael, I got to thank him. When I think about the fact that he is God, he's sovereign, he does whatever he wants to do, and he has chosen not to take me out yet, I got to thank him. I got to thank him. He can do whatever he wants to do, and so I got to thank him because he can do whatever he wants to do. I got to thank him. When I think about the fact that he chose us even before the foundation of the world and going to make us be like Jesus, working on us, conforming on us, I got to thank him for that. I got to thank him for that. When I think about the fact that he has made me in his image, I got to thank him for that. I got to thank him. So when I start thinking about all of those things, when I start thinking about all the things that happened in my life that were good, bad, and indifferent, that he's working all that stuff out, I got to thank him. I said, I got to thank him. So when I think about my aunt who was an alcoholic, but God saved her and changed her, when I think about that, I got to thank him for saving my Auntie Ruth. When I think about the fact that I was on my way to hell and he intercepted me and saved me, I got to thank him. When I think about the fact that I was hell-bent on messing up my life and God changed all of that, I got to thank him. When I think about the fact that I look around and I see things that are as well as they are, I got to thank him. When I think about the fact that I woke up this morning sound and in my right mind, I got to thank him. I said, I got to thank him. Some people woke up this morning not in their right mind. My Auntie Ruth, she's not really in her right mind. So when I start thinking that things are as well as they are, I got to thank him. So I got to think and then I got to thank. I got to think and then I got to thank. I got to think and then I got to thank. I got to think and then I got to thank. And I got to think some more and then I got to thank some more. So it's so much. Time will not permit me to tell you all the things that you and I need to thank him for. So just thank him right now. Just thank him. Just fill in the blank. You got something to thank him for. You got something else to thank him for. You got something else to thank him for. I said, you got something else to, oh, y'all a little weak this morning. You got something else to thank him for. You holding back on your thanks. You holding back on your thanks. Most of us in here probably going to be eating more than we should be eating on Thursday. So thank you for food before it even gets here. Thank you for that dressing. And some of y'all, thank you for them chitlins. And you got to thank him. Thank him for something. We have so much to thank him for. I mean, we do. I mean, maybe it's just me. We have so much to thank him for. I don't know about you, but I often do feel like I fall down kind of low on the, maybe y'all don't fall down kind of low on the truthfully thankful meter. I mean, his goodness and his blessings are way up here. And my thanking is not way down here, but maybe about halfway, I mean, his goodness is way up here. I said, his goodness is way, I can't even reach it. His goodness is way up there. And my thanksgiving right on in here somewhere. Gotta bring those more in concert, saints. Thank him for his sovereignty, that he's in control of all things. We could be in a world that some people think we are in, where just stuff is chaotic and all out of control. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know this. No. Yeah, you're right. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Here it is. Simple saying, old saying. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't. But I know who holds tomorrow. Stand with us if you can stand.